mayors, city council members, welcome. We've got a really interesting deep dive lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about why local control over electricity and broadband is, well, kind of a big deal for building sustainable communities. And you know how much we all love sustainability.
Yeah. And get this fiber optic broadband. It actually uses up to 70% less energy than those old copper networks.
Wow, 70%. That's a pretty significant difference when you think about all the climate goals that your communities are working towards.
Absolutely. And what's really fascinating is this growing push we're seeing all across the country for communities to take control of things like especially broadband internet.
All right. So let's unpack that a bit. When we talk about municipal utilities, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, a municipal utility, it's basically a publicly owned entity that provides services like electricity or broadband, right?
Yeah.
Directly to the residents. And the big difference from, you know, those big investor-owned utilities, it really comes down to focus.
Okay, I'm listening. Tell me more about this focus's difference.
So instead of prioritizing profits, like for shareholders, which is what those big investor-owned companies often do, municipal utilities, they're all about serving the community. You know, their needs, their best interests.
So things like affordability, making sure services are reliable, and just generally making sure things work well for the people who live there.
Exactly. And they can do things like really tailor solutions to local needs. You know, things that might not be top priorities for a huge investor-owned company.
Okay, that makes sense. But I got to ask, haven't there been some municipal broadband projects in the past that haven't exactly, well, gone as planned?
That's true. You're right. Not all municipal utility projects are home runs, and there are definitely things we can learn from those past less than successful experiences.
What are some of those lessons learned that you think are really important for mayors and city councils to keep in mind?
Well, one big pitfall I've seen is a lack of like really thorough planning up front. And not just planning, but also not getting the community involved enough.
Community engagement is key for sure.
It's absolutely crucial to do those feasibility studies.
Yeah.
Figure out what the community actually needs, what it's going to cost, and will this thing be sustainable in the long run? You got to have that solid data before you even think about moving forward.
So it's not just about the infrastructure itself. It's about building trust, getting everyone on board, making sure it's a good fit for the community.
Exactly. And having a clear vision, like what are you actually trying to achieve with this project? How are you going to measure success? Having that roadmap makes a huge difference.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's say we've got a well-planned project. Everyone's on board. What are some specific challenges that communities are facing with investor-owned utilities that these municipal models can actually solve? Our sources mentioned some pretty compelling examples.
Well, one of the big ones, especially when it comes to broadband internet, is this issue of digital equity.
Right, making sure everyone has access.
Yeah. A lot of times, those investor-owned utilities, they focus on the profitable areas, right? The ones where they can make the most money. And that leaves a lot of communities, especially underserved communities, kind of high and dry. They're stuck with limited options, expensive options, and that's not right.
So it creates this digital divide that makes existing inequalities even worse. And it can actually hold back a community's economic growth.
Exactly. And municipal broadband, it can really tackle this head on by providing affordable, high-speed internet for everyone.
So it's about leveling the playing field and giving everyone a chance to participate. But has anyone actually done this successfully? Are there any real-world examples we can look to?
Oh, absolutely. Chattanooga, Tennessee, they're a fantastic example. They went all in on this full service model for both electricity and broadband. And it's become a model that other municipalities are studying, you know, trying to figure out how to replicate their success.
That's really inspiring. It sounds like this idea of community control could be a real game changer.
It definitely has the potential to be. And that brings us to the really interesting part of all of this. What happens when you combine municipal electricity and broadband? It creates this amazing synergy that can be a real powerhouse for sustainability.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this power couple thing. How do these two services actually work together to make a bigger impact than either one could alone? Because I'm not gonna lie, I'm having a little trouble picturing it.
Well, think of it this way. Broadband infrastructure, it's kind of like the nervous system of a modern city. It lets everything communicate, transfer data, and that's really important when you want to optimize energy use and bring in more renewable energy sources. So when you combine municipal electricity with municipal broadband, you're basically creating this closed loop. you generate cleaner energy locally, and then you use that broadband network to manage it all super efficiently.
So it's like having a brain controlling the energy flow, making everything smarter and more responsive.
Exactly. And the benefits go way beyond just efficiency, too.
Okay, like what?
Well, think about using that broadband network to put in those smart grid technologies we've been hearing so much about.
I'm listening.
You could have real-time monitoring of energy use, you know, dynamic load balancing, and it would make it so much easier to integrate things like solar and wind power into the system.
Okay, that all sounds super cool, but how does that actually translate into real benefits for the people living in these communities? What would they notice in their everyday lives?
Well, for one thing, they'd probably see lower energy bills. Smart grids are all about cutting down on waste and using energy more efficiently. And that leads to savings that can be passed on to the people who are actually paying those bills. Plus, with everything being monitored in real time.
Fewer outages.
You got it. And when there are outages, they get fixed faster.
So it's a greener system and a more reliable system. I feel like that's a message that would really resonate with both residents and businesses.
Definitely. And let's not forget the positive environmental impact. Those fiber optic networks we talked about earlier, remember, they use way less energy than copper and they don't need as much maintenance, so they have a much smaller environmental footprint overall. Combine that with cleaner local energy from a municipal utility, and you're talking about a significant drop in those carbon emissions.
Wow, it does sound like a win-win for everyone.
Mm.
But how do we actually make this happen? Where do communities even begin to get this ball rolling?
Welcome back. Ready to dig a little deeper into these municipal utilities?
Definitely. Last time we talked about some of the benefits, you know, how communities could have more control and build a more sustainable future by owning their electricity and broadband.
Right, right. But we got to be realistic too. I mean, any project this big is going to have some bumps in the road. So today let's talk about some of those challenges that communities might face.
Yeah, that makes sense. And honestly, one of the first things I hear from other mayors is just the sheer cost of it all. Building out those networks, especially broadband, it takes a lot of money up front. So how can communities that are already stretched thin even afford to do this?
That's a big one for sure. Those initial costs can be, well, a little scary. That's why starting with a really solid feasibility study is absolutely crucial.
Okay, break that down for me. What does that actually involve?
Well, it means bringing in experts, people who really know this stuff. They can look at your community's specific needs, figure out what the potential costs are going to be, and most importantly, tell you if this whole thing is even sustainable in the long run.
So it's not just about jumping in head first. It's about having all the information, making sure it's a smart investment for the community.
Exactly. And don't forget about all that government funding that's out there. Yeah. That can make a huge difference.
Right. We talked about those opportunities earlier. So things like the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act.
Yeah. That's a big one. It's got billions of dollars set aside for broadband expansion, including support for municipal networks. Plus, a lot of states have their own grant and loan programs. They want to help communities, especially those that have been kind of overlooked, get connected.
So it's about looking beyond the immediate budget and seeing what other resources are out there. And I've also heard some communities are being pretty creative when it comes to how they finance these projects.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some are issuing municipal bonds to raise the capital they need.
Interesting. So instead of relying solely on taxpayer dollars, they're basically investing in themselves and then reaping the rewards of that investment down the road. That's a cool approach.
It is. But even if you've got the money figured out, there's another hurdle. Expertise. Mm. A lot of municipalities, they just don't have the staff who know how to manage these really complex systems.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how do you address that gap?
Well, one option is to bring in some outside help. There are consulting firms that specialize in this kind of stuff, you know, broadband and utility infrastructure.
So you can tap into their experience, get guidance every step of the way.
Exactly. They can help you design the network, build it, and then keep it running smoothly. Plus, you can learn a lot from other communities that have already been through this.
Right. Like Chattanooga that we talked about earlier.
Yep. Go to conferences. Talk to people who have done this successfully. Sometimes just picking up the phone and asking questions can give you a roadmap for success.
So there's a real sense of community and collaboration in this space. That's great. But what about building that expertise within the municipality itself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're not always relying on outside help.
Oh, that's super important for long-term success. Investing in your employees, giving them the training they need to become the experts is key.
So it's not just about building infrastructure. It's about building up the skills and knowledge within the community itself. And, you know, one thing our sources really emphasized was community engagement. Why is that so important throughout this whole process?
Well, for a few reasons. First of all, you want to make sure that whatever you're building actually meets the needs of the community. You got to listen to the people who live there, understand their concerns, and actually incorporate their feedback into the plan.
So it's about creating a sense of ownership, making people feel like they're part of the solution.
Exactly. And that can really help when you inevitably run into pushback. Because let's be real, the companies that are currently controlling these services, they're not going to just roll over.
They're going to fight to protect their profits.
Of course they are. But if you can show them that the community is united behind this, that everyone wants better and more affordable options, it's a lot harder for them to just keep doing things the way they've always been done.
It's about showing a united front, proving that this is about what's best for the whole community, not just a few powerful companies.
Right. Plus, community engagement can help when you're trying to navigate all the legal and regulatory stuff, which can be a real headache.
Because a lot of states actually have laws that make it harder to set up municipal utilities, especially broadband.
Yeah, some of those laws are pretty restrictive.
It's like they're designed to protect those big companies and keep communities from having any real control.
That's often the case. But the good news is, those laws aren't impossible to overcome.
So what can communities do?
Well, they can try to work with their state legislatures, you know, push for changes to those laws. They can even challenge them in court if they have to.
So it's about being persistent, fighting for what's right for the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, it feels like the tide is turning. More and more communities are pushing back. They're demanding the right to control their own digital future. And as we see more success stories, I think it's only going to gain momentum.
Welcome back for the final part of our deep dive into these municipal utilities and how they can help us build more sustainable communities.
Yeah, we've covered a lot. We talked about what community ownership looks like and some strategies to get over those hurdles that always seem to pop up.
But, you know, as we wrap up, I want to kind of zoom out and look at the bigger picture.
Totally agree. It's not just about figuring out how to do it, but understanding why this matters so much. You know, why should mayors and city councils even bother? What's the long-term impact beyond just checking off a box and saying, yep, we provide electricity, we provide internet?
Yeah, and our sources brought up some really compelling points that go way beyond just keeping the lights on and the internet running.
One of the biggest arguments is all about empowerment. It's about taking that control back from those massive corporations and putting it back where it belongs, in the hands of the people.
So it's about local communities being able to make their own decisions based on what they need, not what some big company in a far-off city thinks is best for them.
Exactly. When a community owns and controls these essential services, they get to decide what their priorities are, what their values are, and what their goals are. That often gets lost when you're dealing with a company that's focused on profits for shareholders. You know, they don't always have the community's best interests at heart.
Right. It's about putting people first. But how does that actually play out?
Well, when you shift that power back to the local level, it can create this ripple effect that benefits everyone. People feel a sense of pride. They get more involved. They see real improvements happening right where they live.
So it's not just about services. It's about strengthening the community as a whole.
For sure. And, you know, another big theme that kept coming up is this idea of building resilience, especially with all the crazy stuff happening in the world, climate change, you know, cyber attacks, all these unexpected challenges.
It feels like there's always something new to worry about these days.
Right. And it's those communities that have invested in resilient infrastructure that are prepared that are going to be able to bounce back when something happens.
Okay, I follow you. So how do municipal utilities fit into that?
Well, by design, they're deeply rooted in the community. They're not accountable to some big corporate board or Wall Street investors. They answer to the people they serve. So they're much more likely to think long term, to make decisions that are good for the entire community, not just the bottom line.
That makes a lot of sense. So what could that look like in practice?
Well, it could mean investing in tougher infrastructure that can stand up to hurricanes or floods, or maybe it means switching to more renewable energy sources so you're not so reliant on fossil fuels.
So being proactive, thinking ahead, planning for the future.
Exactly. And broadband can play a huge role here, too. You can use it to create these smart, adaptable systems that can respond to whatever comes their way.
Okay, give me an example.
Sure. Imagine a smart grid that can automatically reroute power if there's an outage, you know, keep essential services up and running.
Yeah.
Or a broadband network that makes it easy for people to work from home or see a doctor online, even if they can't physically get there.
Those are great examples. It's about being ready for anything.
Right. And it's not just about responding to crises. It's about actively building a better future, one that's sustainable, one that's equitable, one that works for everyone.
I like the sound of that. So how do we actually get there?
Well, take municipal broadband. That can be a game changer when it comes to closing the digital divide. If everyone has access to affordable, high-speed internet, it opens up so many opportunities, for education, jobs, and just being a part of the community. And if municipal utilities are leading the charge on renewable energy, working to make their communities more energy efficient, well, that's a huge step towards tackling climate change.
Less pollution, a healthier environment, that's good for everyone.
Exactly. And it can even be an economic boost. When utility profits stay in the community, it creates jobs, supports local businesses, and strengthens the local economy. It's this win-win-win situation.
It sounds like a pretty compelling case.
It really is. So as we wrap up, the big takeaway here is that the choices we make about our infrastructure today, they have a huge impact on our future. They affect everything. Our economy, our environment, the way our communities function.
So it's not just about wires and pipes and internet cables. It's about building the kind of future we want to live in.
Absolutely. And when we choose community ownership, we're making a statement. We're saying that people come before profits, that thinking long term matters more than quick wins, and that building a shared future is more important than individual interests.
That's a powerful message.
It is. And to all those mayors and city council members out there who are listening, you have the power to make this happen. Take that first step, build those communities you want to see, because the future really is in your hands.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you found it helpful, inspiring, maybe even gave you some ideas to take back to your communities.
Remember, every big journey starts with that first step.
So let's take that step together. Let's build that brighter, more sustainable future.